Good morning, Veritas. It's good to be here this morning. And this week was a significant week in my life. My grandmother, Grandma Rena, 98 years old, went to be with Jesus. She stepped into eternity, and I had the privilege of doing her funeral. And so every once in a while, there's these points in your life where you're just forced to reflect on your life and why you're here and on earth. And as I was reflecting on my Grandma Rena's life, it was a life lived well for the glory of God. I mean, it was like her life was the sermon, and that was an easy one to do. And you know, one of the stories about my Grandma Rena was she had six kids, and there were always people in her home, always welcomed international students and refugees, and their house was just a revolving door, and she took care of old people than her peers as she got older, and she took care of my great-grandpa Fred, and she took care of her siblings and in their old age. But well, you know, one of my memories of my Grandma Rena was always going to their house, and we'd be at Thanksgiving dinner, and it's like seats are already at a premium, right? And I mean, there's just like maybe 70 people at the Thanksgiving meal, and I'm already like having to sit at the ping pong table, you know? And then all of a sudden the question comes out, who's gonna pick up Winnie? I'm like, oh, Winnie, you know? And of course she gets a place at the main table, and then it gets bumped, everyone gets down. So I end up like in an ironing board in a closet somewhere, you know, eating because Winnie, you know? And then when Winnie died, I thought, sweet, I'm back up to the ping pong table, and I was greeted with the question, say hi to Marguerite. I'm like, oh, you know? And as a kid, I just, you know, maybe it was like, man, their lives are just about other people. And, you know, as I was doing her funeral, like, you know, I'm 40 now, and all that stuff makes sense, right? It's like, that is a life that's lived well. It is sharing what God has given you. That's what we're talking about this morning. So here's kind of the rhythm of how things work at Veritas Church. We are a church filled with a bunch of college students, grad students, residents, and we kind of follow the school year cycle. And next week is the last, it's the night of worship, and then students have finals week. And so this is a great time for us to sort of look back on the year and say, what has God done? What has God done this year in the life of our church? But it's also a time to look forward as many of us will be scattering and to say, what does God have for us next year? Another thing about our kind of rhythm as a church is that July 1st, we have a new fiscal year, so our budget starts over July 1, and so we're also coming to the end of a budget year, which is important for us. We have financial needs and all those things. But it's a great time for us to come back to the question, why are we here? What is our purpose as a church? Why do we exist? And there are some times, and you just have to go back to page one and say, what does God say? Why are we here? So I want to do that. I want to go back to page one. Turn there, or you can turn on there, whatever you use for your Bible, and I just want to remember this morning what the story's about. So we're going to just do a quick jet tour of the first 12 chapters of Genesis, and then we're going to talk about some exciting things that God is doing in Veritas. So let's start in Genesis 1. So here's just kind of the overview. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God created, and it's this amazing display of God. Day one, he creates light. And what does he say? It is good. Day two, dry ground. It is good. Day three, vegetation. It is good. Day and night, he separates day and night. It's good. Fish and birds. It's good. Wild animals, humans. It's good. And at the end, it says, all that God created, God saw all that he created, and it was very good. Seven times in chapter one, we see that word good. Now, what could we conclude about God if that's all that we had was just page one? Well, we would say he is the creator. He made everything. One of the most fundamental realities about God is that he is creator. Well, if creation reflects the creator, what could you say about God besides the fact that he's the creator? He's good. This is like kindergarten language. He saw all of these things, the fish in the sea, day and night, light, the sun, and he says, it is good. So probably the most two fundamental realities that we need to know about God is that he is creator and he is good. But in verse 27, we see that he has a mission. He has a purpose. Look at chapter 1, verse 27 of Genesis. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Okay, so here's what God does. He creates these little image bearers, these little replicas, if you will. Us, people, that reflect him. And he does this thing, it says in verse 28, God blessed them. That is such an important word. God blessed them. Do you know what that means? It means to bless someone means to confer happiness on somebody, to invoke divine favor. So here's what we have based on what we know in chapter 1, page 1. It's this infinitely good creator God says to these little image bearers, you know, here's a heart, here's some lungs, here's some oxygen, here's some vocal cords, here's a brain, and now go and just fill the earth with my joy and my goodness and my glory. Fill the earth. This is the mission of God in creating the universe. This infinitely good God that puts people here to share his joy and to spread his joy to the ends of the earth. Some of you guys memorized catechisms growing up. The Westminster Catechism, it asks a question, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to what? Glorify God and enjoy him forever. Isn't that a great mission statement that God gave us? I mean, doesn't all sin ultimately come down to getting one of those two things wrong, like refusing to acknowledge God as the creator or refusing to acknowledge that he is good? Like, I have a better agenda, and I'm going to go do it. I'm going to prefer something over God. Well, we are here to be blessed by God and to spread the glory of God. So one cool thing, while I was at this this funeral is kind of a family reunion, and one of my grandpa's last brothers that's still living, two are still alive, and he was telling me all about our genealogy, and I found out, pretty cool, I'm related to Aaron Burr, the guy that got in a shootout with Alexander Hamilton. And also another thing, though, is that Jonathan Edwards is like my great-great-great-great times 10 uncle, and so I'm super proud to be connected to one of the greatest thinkers and philosophers and theologians in American history. Unfortunately, those genes all got diluted and not enough got through, but he's still around that I can quote him. And in college, I did a whole semester study of this book, The End for Which God Created the World. And Jonathan Edwards asked this question, why did God create the world? That's a like one of the biggest questions you could ask is, why did God create the world? Was he lonely? Was he in need? It's like he was bored, he was empty nest, he needed a dog, he was, you know, like we would buy a dog for companionship. So like, why did God put us here? And look at what he says. Listen to this quote. as there is an infinite fullness of all possible good in God. A fullness of every perfection, of all excellency and beauty, and of infinite happiness, so it seems pleasant that this infinite fountain of good should send forth abundant streams. Now, this is one of those books that you read and you're like, at the end, you say, I don't understand a word you just said. But it's not because it's Billy Madison or whatever that was comes from. It's because it's like, this is so brilliant. You know that he's talking about the glory of God in creation and saying, he's like this abundant fountain that just overflows. And so, why did God create the world? It's like asking, why does water overflow? It's water. That's what water does when it's overflow, when it gets to the top and it keeps going, it overflows. And he says, that's how God created the world. It's not that the fountain was lacking. Okay, it's not that the fountain was empty, so God needed to be filled up, so he put us here. God is not lonely. He does not need us. God does not have a personal testimony. I was empty, I was just lacking purpose and lonely, and then I created humans, and now my life has meaning, right? God doesn't have a testimony, right? He is infinitely glorious and self-sufficient, and so this infinite fountain just of God just overflows with goodness and joy into creation. And so here it is, the thing you want to write down. The first point. You were created to receive, enjoy, and share blessing. That's why God put you on planet Earth, is he wants you to receive blessing, to enjoy blessing, and to share blessing. We get through Genesis 1. I'm going to fast forward. You know, we hit some bumps in the road, something called the fall, okay? Adam and Eve, the garden, and there's a flood. The whole earth is wiped out. But then in Genesis 9 and 10, there's a sort of, after the flood, there's a restoration of the earth, a sort of recreation through this man, Noah. And in Genesis 10, you have what we call the Table of Nations. God basically starts over. But I want you to see the second fall. Some of you know the fall in the Garden of Eden. Well, there's a second fall that happens in Genesis 11. Look at Genesis 11. It says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, and they settled there. Verse 4. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Do you see what's going on here? They are rebelling against God's design for them. You know, we don't want your glory. We want our glory. We don't want to share it. We don't want to spread it. We want to keep it. We want to fortify it. So they build this tower and say, let's make a name for ourselves. Don't we do this? We are experts at tower building with our names on it, our glory, our praise. So one of our neighbor kids that hangs out at our house a lot came home from school, and he was showing our other kids and my wife this sheet that they filled out at career day. And so, you know, on this sheet, they fill out all the things that they want in life, and there's like check boxes and questions like, what kind of car do you want to drive? And it lists cars, and you fill it in, and it's got prices next to it, like how much it's going to cost. And it goes through everything. What kind of house do you want to live in? This is how much it'll cost. What kind of hobbies do you want to have? What kind of TV? And it's like the different sizes of TVs and how much they're going to cost. And it's going through it. It's listing like everything that you want out of this life. And he was showing this, and Letha, my wife, is there, and she says, oh, what about the What about giving? Like, is that one of the boxes you can fill, like, how much you want to give? And he just looks at her and he says, we don't do that. Like, why would they put that box in there? That's not something we do. But isn't that how we go through life? And then, of course, you got to say all the stuff you want and find the career that matches up, right? So he wants to be an engineer or something because it says, I'll make this much money so then I can sustain this kind of life. You guys, our world is discipling us in Genesis 11. It's like how to build an amazing tower. Like, come to Iowa. We build the best towers, right? Come here, you'll be successful, man. Doctors, lawyers, dentists, nurses. I mean, look at all of the training and business school. We're gonna help you build an amazing tower. Man, your 401k, your stocks, your comfort. Like, that's what we do as humans. What about the sharing box? Oh, we don't do that. Verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that people were building. Don't you love this picture? God comes down like, oh, what are you guys working on down there? I picture like a Google Earth, you know how it zooms in? And it's like, it zooms in and God's like, oh, these like little ants and this little, oh, that's a cute little tower. And they're like, we're amazing. You know, we have a name for ourselves. And he looks down in verse 8, so the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth. And they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is what we do. God blesses us, and we take it, and we steal it, and we keep it for ourselves. Just like these people in Genesis 11. But God will destroy every tower that is not for his kingdom and his glory, because that's not why we're here. And so we see the second fall with the Tower of Babel, but then look at the next verse. So actually Genesis 12, look what it says. We have another sort of restoration of creation. It says in Genesis 12:1, so the Lord says to Abram, God picks this other person, Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. Listen, I will make your name great. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Genesis 11, we will make our name great. Genesis 12, I will make your name great. Get verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Listen, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Do you guys remember the first point? God put us here to receive, to enjoy, and to share the blessing that God has given. And so we come back to God's original purpose. And he says, Abram, through you, everyone on earth will be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord told him. Well, to be a great nation, you've got to have land and you've got to have people. And that's basically what the rest of the storyline is of the whole Bible. You go through and you see God answering this promise, fulfilling this promise from Genesis 12. Your mission is to receive, to enjoy, and to share. The second thing I want you to write down based on this little jet tour of Genesis is that if blessing has come to you, it must go through you. Do you guys remember these things called ice cube trays? Okay. There was a day when you actually had to put water in here and put it in the freezer and, you know, break it up and the ice comes out. Now you just like stick your cup under the fridge and it just comes out, you know. But these are ice, this is an ice cube tray. And here's what you do in an ice cube tray. Okay? You You know, my favorite way to fill up an ice cube tray, and it's the right way to do it, is you turn on the water and you just do like one, you put it under one cube, you know, and you just let it pour in and then you tilt it down and the water spills over to the other cubes. How many of you guys, that's how you fill it up, right? That's how you're supposed to do it, okay? Because for the sake of my illustration, this is essentially what God is saying to Abram. We talked about God being this infinite fountain of goodness and joy and happiness. And he says, Abram, I'm going to bless you in such a way that it's going to spill over and it's going to get to this very last cube. And this represents every nation and person on planet Earth. And through you, everyone on Earth is going to be blessed. And this is where we miss the point when we say, no, like it's just about my little cube. And if I share it, then there will be less for me. Here's good news. We are standing under the Niagara Falls, okay? There's enough water. It's never going to run out. It's God. He's infinite. No limitations on what he can give. And so through you, Abram, I am going to bless every nation. Every tribe, every tongue. And God gave Abram what the people in Babel were trying to get for themselves. But it's easier when God gives it than when you try to earn it. That's this word, grace. Undeserved favor. And we learn through this that success is not earned, it's given. If you earn it, then it's your glory. If you're the one lifting all the weights, standing in front of the mirror and say, I did this, I'm amazing, you get the glory. But if God does it, then God gets the glory. And so this is what we were created for, church. We were created to receive, and that what comes to us should go through us. And if what God is giving us turns into a tower for our name, we have completely missed the point of why God put us here. Veritas Church, we are not here to build a name and an empire for ourselves. May the name of Veritas be forgotten and the name of Jesus be remembered forever. That is why we are here. And if we have it, it is meant to be enjoyed. It is meant to be shared. If we can't share it, we probably shouldn't have it. We have this parenting strategy. We did it more when we were new parents because we were determined we were going to do it. And we did actually in this thing that we would tell our kids, if you don't share your toys, we're going to take it away and we're going to give it away. Whoever you won't share it with, they just got a new toy. And I'll never forget my son. One of them just got a new Spider-Man scooter. Wouldn't share it with the neighbor kid. All right. We took the scooter away and gave it to our neighbor. There's somebody now that's, you know, still got a Spider-Man scooter somewhere, and our son is scarred for life, so don't ever do that. But here's the point. We want to teach our kids, if you have it, in the context of blessing, there is responsibility. If God has blessed you, you have to share it. And how can we not talk about Ephesians 1:3? We just got done studying Ephesians, and Paul says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Jesus Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of Genesis 12. He is God, that he didn't just look down on creation and say, man, what a mess, I'm going to destroy that barrier. No, he came down and he himself was crucified on a cross, was buried, was raised for our life. and for our salvation. And there is no greater gift that can be given, and there is no greater gift that can be shared. And so we see that God is a sharing God, and we see that theme through the New Testament. God so loved the world that he gave. He's continuing to give. He's continuing to pour out of his abundant, infinite goodness. Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth, and so I'm saying to you, go. This sounds like Genesis 1, doesn't it? Fill the earth with this good news. That's why we're here, Veritas. So about 7 years ago, 7.5 years ago, it was October of 2009, I was considering moving to Iowa City. Troy Nesbitt asked if I would consider moving to Iowa City. Actually, Troy Nesbitt, Jeff Dodge, they sat me down at a Mexican restaurant. What would you think about going to Iowa City? And I said, let me pray about it. And so I went to this new auditorium. My wife and I had just sacrificed and given a bunch of money and everyone, the fundraiser, and this new auditorium had just been built, 1,800 seat auditorium. I was leading Salt Company at the time, and I described my job as ministry candy land. It was like, who has a better job on planet Earth than leading Salt Company? And we just, for the first time, had some room to grow because we were in this gym. And so there we are, and I'm sitting by myself in this auditorium. It hadn't opened yet, hadn't had our first service. And I went up to the stage, and I looked out on all these seats and had this conversation with God. And he said, hey, Mark, you want to go? And I think that's kind of the litmus test for whether my life is Genesis 11 or Genesis 12, isn't it? So what's that you're working on, Mark? That's pretty cool ministry. What would you think about going? Well, God, I mean, you know, we have 5 kids, we just built this house, and we just built a fence, and, you know, installed a central vac, and did all these improvements. Iowa City, what would you think? So, you know the story. I came, and some bunch of radical students stepped out in faith to join us and staff, and so we came, and something happened a couple weeks ago. I was, Jake Each, the pastor, one of the pastors up in Cedar Rapids, asked if I would come up and do a devotional with their staff. So I was talking to them about something I had been thinking about maintaining our first love, not losing our first love, the sermon that you guys heard a few weeks ago. And so I was sharing with the staff, and I said, you know what we need to do is we need to spend some time with Jesus, so I want you to spread out over this building. And I just went on a little walk through the building, and I ended up in their auditorium. And I was kneeling there in Veritas Cedar Rapids' new auditorium. And it's like God transported me back. As I was looking at this empty auditorium, maybe 900 seats, and it's like God said, was it worth it? Are you glad you went? In 2009, I felt like the Lord was saying to me, Mark, I want you to go because I'm going to bless you in such a way that the impact is going to be even greater than what you see here. And by going, you're going to see me do something that will be so amazing. Veritas, we are 7 years in, 6.5 years in on this journey, and we are just scratching the surface and starting to see what I believe God wants to do. And the success of Veritas will not be determined by our seating capacity, but in our sharing capacity. in our sending capacity, because we are not here to build a tower and say, look at us. What has God given you to share? What has God given us to share? That is why we are here, to spread the glory of King Jesus, the love and the joy of Jesus to the ends of the earth. Find someone that is broken and hurting and love them. Find someone in need and give to them. Share with them. If the blessing has come to you, it must go through you. In the context of blessing, there is always responsibility. And if you're going to build a tower, it may be pretty impressive to some other people below you, but when God looks down, he is not impressed with the size of your retirement accounts and your SUVs and your cars and your TV screens. And if you're sitting alone in your mansion on your deathbed, it's just a cage. Because you have wasted your life. And God is calling us to be a blessing. And you know what I'm asking for 2017-18? I'm saying, God, give us more. We'll be faithful with it. We will share it. We will give it away. For the glory of God and for the joy of the people in our city, in our lives. So here we are, standing at the end of a school year. And what can we say but God has blessed us as a church? I can hardly think of another church on planet Earth that is more blessed than Veritas Church. And I thank God for all of you, because I know that this is a radical bunch of people who are not here because it's a country club, right? You wouldn't be coming to church in a hotel if you were here for how comfortable it was, right? You're here because you know there's more. You want more. You want to share it. I want to just share a couple things as we end. Some ways that God has blessed us and that we're wanting to share it. And last year, I stood up on the stage. I said, you know what we need to do? We need to set our alarms for 10:02. And when that alarm goes off, we're going to pray Luke 10:2. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers to go into the harvest field. And that was the application of the message of Vision Sunday last year, a year ago on this date. Pray for workers, pray for the harvest field. And I even gave you a picture, and it was a picture of a building. Like, we want to build a building, but there was a harvest field around it. Remember that? And I said, as we wait to build a building, we're not waiting to build the church. Our mission and vision is not a building, it's the harvest field. And so my question is, did God do it? Was God faithful to answer our prayer? All right, so let's answer the question. Drew, come on up. Isaac, Hannah, come on up if you're here, Hannah. This is our Minneapolis team. In September, as we began to pray that prayer for workers, God put it on Drew's heart to step out in faith. And Isaac and a number of you have said, yes, we're gonna go. And as we say goodbye to these guys, this is sad. Drew, next week, is going to preach his last sermon at Veritas. I hope it's not your last one, but it's your last one on staff. And I've already got my Kleenex packed up and ready for that. But next week, we're going to celebrate. I mean, we're not going to celebrate, you're going. We're going to celebrate baptisms. It's going to be an awesome week. Drew's going to share from his heart to us as he goes. But Drew and Isaac are two of our most visible people in Veritas. And as we say goodbye to them, they're going to leave a huge hole, a huge gap. And our strategy for church planning and sending is we don't send the people we just don't want around here because we don't have a use for them. So it's like, hey, you should go and plant a church. No, like, we send our best. We send the people we don't want to send, okay? That's how we plant churches. So we're sending these guys. Now, what are we going to do? How are we going to replace these guys? Okay, here's some great news. All the new staff, come on up, okay? If you're coming on staff next year, come on up, all right? So you guys will stand over here. Okay, so you know who you are. Let's see if I can list you all. Dan Bohall, okay, Ryan, Pete, Blake's not here, he's out of town, but Carson, Drake, Annie, Mikey, Rebecca, Christy, Dalton, all right. Okay, check this out. Look at this crew, you guys. Okay, these are new staff that are coming on. Is Christy here? No. Rebecca is going to be taking over Veritas Kids and continuing to grow the kids ministry, and she's bringing Christy on staff, Christy James. Just a quick rundown. Dan Bohall is jumping on staff. He's going to be our community pastor. He has no idea what he's doing, but we're going to teach him. He's been doing it for the last, 7 years, so he's good. He'll be fine. Ryan Hamby, you guys, one of our rising stars, one of our best guys. No offense to anyone else. You're all whatever. He's kind of the Joseph of Veritas. He's our favorite child. Ryan is working with Salt Company, killing it, doing an awesome job. And I said, hey, Ryan, what would you think about doing youth ministry? You guys, Ryan is going to be starting youth ministry at Veritas. Can't you wait for the day when we start seeing 19 teenagers get baptized? High school, junior high students is going to be awesome. So these guys are coming on. I don't even know these guys' names, right? So we got Mikey, Drake, Annie, Pete. Dalton is going to be taking over for Isaac, and Blake's going to be jumping in to help him. Pete, Carson, you guys, God has answered our prayer for workers. This is going to be an amazing team, and we are excited for what God's going to do. So give it up for these guys. How about that? Awesome. You guys can sit down. You guys, what I'm saying is, as we say goodbye to a few people, God has dumped blessing. He has refilled our cup, and it's overflowing. And so we are excited about what God's going to do. All right, check this out. Over the last year, 63 baptisms. Isn't that amazing? And that doesn't even count next week. How many people are getting baptized? I don't know, but it's a lot. And God is blessing us with new life. Listen to this, over 90 Salt Company students applied for leadership this next year. Just the people that applied. You guys, when we came here 7 years ago, that's how many students were in Salt Company. Now, it's like God is blessing Salt Company. 21 students are going overseas. Over this last year, 9 children were adopted into Veritas families. 9. 7 international, 2 domestic. And you know what we do? For Veritas members that are adopting, we as a church want to come alongside them financially. And so we give $5,000 to families adopting internationally and $2,500 for those adopting domestically. And so as an elder team, this was a fun/terrifying moment when we're like, where's $40,000 going to come from? And you know what we said? Like, well, God gave us a savings account, and we're going to trust God because we care about orphans. And we as a family believe that the best way to take care of orphans in their distress is to bring them into our families. And we were excited to write all of those checks to those families and say, we want to be on this journey with you as a church. But 9 adoptions, isn't that awesome? Praise God for that. Those precious little kids, you got to know them. And we have the Pratt grandparents with us, right? You guys are worn out, I'm sure, from those your time with those 4 sweet boys. But praise God for them. I can't wait to see these kids grow up and come, it's going to be awesome. Okay, so attendance. This church continues to grow. There continues to be fewer and fewer seats available. Salt Company is growing. You look at how God has blessed us financially. as a church, you look every week and you see in the program, you're like, wow, there's quite a deficit. Well, that number represents, you know, our budget included a chunk that we wanted to put toward our building. But here's the reality of our giving is that through the end of March, our expected, or our income was $856,000, and our expenses, what we spent was virtually the same. It was just a little over because of we wrote a check to Faith Academy that was for the whole year, and that's prorated. So what I'm saying is God is providing our daily bread exactly what we need, right? God is providing, and thanks for your generosity in that. In our savings account, we had $110,000. In our checking account, we had $153,000. And in our vision fund for our building, we had $2.3 million. And there's, hopefully by December, we'll have $3 million. You guys, to be where we're at with our budget in such a season as you are sacrificing, and some of your we asked you guys to consider giving 20% of your income, right? Double your tithe. And many of you guys are doing that and sacrificing. And in this season, to be where we're at, guys, I feel so encouraged and so blessed. God is blessing us. And with that, Dale, can you come up real quick? I just want to let Dale share. So I talked about building, and guys, our vision is to reach this world, to share what God gives us. We believe God wants to give us more. We believe more that this Marriott Hotel cannot contain the more that God wants to give. So we're talking about a building. Dale, get us updated on where we're at in the building journey.
Well, great. He stole a little of my thunder, because it is amazing to start this with what God has given us. Talk about the blessings that he has given us. We're expecting to be really close to $3 million in that vision fund by the end of this year. That's amazing. And I'm just so excited about that. And I wanted to start with that first point. So just quickly, kind of as quickly as I can anyway, where are we at with the building? If I had a dollar for every time I've been asked that, we'd probably have $4 million in that account. Yeah. So, but last year at this time, we said, oh, we have a land in Coralville, we're planning, we're making all kinds of plans to do that. Not long after we said that, some changes came along. The city came, made some requirements. We're not trying to say anything bad about Coralville, but they made some requirements, and ended up, for us to do the full project, they were requiring us to do some exteriors that were gonna cost millions of dollars. And so we actually walked away from that land, and I've shared that before. We walked away, and amazingly, the developers gave back our money, which we believe God was really in. So then we began a process of looking for land, looking for buildings, and I want you to know we have turned over every rock looking for land and buildings. And last fall, we came real close to purchasing a piece of land. But then we got a phone call about another building, the Menards building, which we talked about earlier this year. We prayed about it, really thought that was going to be it. We were so excited, but it didn't work out. Someone else got the building. We tried really hard to get it. So then we said, what do we do next? We actually looked at a church here in Iowa City, thinking that might be a building possibility. We looked at the Parkview building. They're kind of in a position of wanting to move as well, and the elders decided, no, we didn't want to do that, so what do we do next? So we kind of went back to that piece of land that we were looking at in the fall, and it's land near Forever Green and the new exit that they're going to be building off of 380. So it's really only 5 minutes from this location. You get on the interstate, boom, you'll be there within 5 minutes. It's a great piece of land. We're so excited about it. It's being in development. There's no roads to it right now, but we're hoping by the fall there will be roads built right to it. The exit will be built in about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. So we'll have great access for everyone to get there. We're not building a tower. We're building what we need, and that's it. And so we put together a great team Jim Walker, is a member here at Veritas. He is helping me tremendously. He's a retired guy, smarter than I am, does a lot of things that nobody sees. We've got a great design team. We've got a great contractor. We're just really excited. Even our lawyer, I'm excited about. We have a new lawyer that's going to guide us through all this negotiations. And I'd love to say in 30 days, we'll be able to come to you and say, yes, we have got land. And we've even seen some preliminary drawings of the building. And we are really, really excited about that. And, you know, we've talked about Psalm 27 a number of times about waiting on the Lord. And that's what we're doing. But yet, I want you to know we're kicking down the door as well. So we're trying to do this in a way that God's just going to show up and, again, bless us in so many ways.
So, yeah, one question I have. I'm an optimist, and I like to think through optimistic timelines. And what is a possible realistic timeline if we were able to close on the land here in the next 30 days, you know, from what you're hearing from right. the contractors?
We probably won't close on the land until a little bit later in the summer, but if we can get this agreement signed, the roads are supposed to be finished this fall. We could see dirt flying, moving by later this fall, and you probably will see a building by next spring. So this time next year, we will be saying, we're moving into the building on, that's my promise, if we get this building.
Okay.
That we'll have something that we can say we're moving into very shortly. Okay?
That's your promise if it happens.
That's my
and
promise.
If it doesn't,
that's
not your promise.
That.
So anyway, so that was
long ways.
Strategic ambiguity there. That's good. All right, thanks, Dale. So all right, so here it is. Here's my prayer for this next year, and I would invite you to join me in this. Psalm 67. It just says this. May God be gracious to us and bless us. And make his face shine upon us. Is it good to pray for God to bless you? Well, it's in the Bible, okay? If you're going to pray Psalm 67, it's a prayer for blessing. But listen, verse 2, so that, if you miss these two words, don't pray for blessing. Bless us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. Verse 6, then the land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. God, may God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. The psalmist says, man, there is an abundant crop of corn and soybeans because God blessed us. And somehow because God blessed my business or my farm or my family, like it's gonna get to the ends of the earth. And my prayer for us is that we will die to any dreams we have of towers. We will die to dreams of success. And we will live to this vision of being a blessing. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the greatest gift that God has given us. And I pray for those in this room that have never opened their hand to you, that this morning they would come to find their purpose is not their tower, it is your glory. And what they truly long for is a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Help us to give. Help us to give our money and our time, our resources, all that we have for your kingdom and your glory, for the glory of God and the joy of all peoples. Amen.